Sunday. We are so glad that each of you are here, and we're thankful to be together gathered in this space today. Today we've planned a special service of remembrance for those followers of Christ among us who have died this last year, especially focusing on those who have died since March when the pandemic began. We recognize that for the families who are not able to have a memorial service for their loved one with broader community present, there is a very distinct and specific loss in that. And for many of us in this congregation who knew and loved these friends, there is a longing to bear witness and to remember the significance of their lives and God's faithfulness to them together as a church family. So we come together today for that purpose, knowing that God is present with us, binding us together in the Spirit as we remember and grieve, and as we cling to the hope of the resurrection. We'll also be celebrating the sacrament of the Lord's Supper today, and you should have received an individual communion cup when you came in. For now, you can just hold on to that, and we will lead through the process of communion after the sermon. A couple of announcements from the Closet of Hope. The Closet was able to serve 180 guests this month, and yesterday at the Closet's opening, the 28,000th guest was served. So many thanks to Don and to all the volunteers who are making this incredible ministry possible. We want to let you know that there is a great need for winter boots of all sizes right now. So if you have any gently used boots lying around at home, please consider donating those to the church for people who could really use those boots as we head into the winter season. And lastly, just a brief reminder to, as we're together in this space, to please wear your masks over your nose and your mouth for everyone's safety, unless you are partaking in the communion elements later in the service. And we thank you for understanding and your willingness to do that as we seek to keep ourselves and one another safe. So let's stand now as we join in the call to worship.
After this, I looked, and there was before me a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice,
Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.
All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying,
Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Then one of the elders asked me, saying, These in white robes, who are they, and where do they come from? I answered, Sir, you know. And he said,
These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall God, your love for us is indeed marvelous. Thank you, God, for this day when we remember your faithfulness to generation after generation. You make your home among us and abide with us as our God. And thank you for the sacrifices made by those who have gone before us. Teach us to live as the saints you call us to be, that we may truly be your people, living and doing your will. In the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Please be seated.
Hear these words from Psalm 34, beginning with chapter 1, verse 1, of David, when he pretended to be insane before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he left. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him.
And for 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or knows him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning, because they have been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor is anyone who does not love their brother and sister. For this is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
On All Saints Sunday and All Saints Day, and they both happen to be on the same day today, we affirm that life in God's kingdom is larger than what we see and know here. That eternal life is real, and it is promised to all who come to God through Jesus Christ. We affirm that life in God's kingdom reaches beyond the bounds of this world and reaches into eternal life. Today we affirm this, and we remember before God all those who are now numbered among the saints in heaven. We'll name the names of those who have died in the past year. We have 14 names listed on the sheet that I believe you all have. And as Pastor Anna said, we'll give particular focus on those who have died since the pandemic began and for whom we were not able to have a memorial service. We'll begin with those names and photos and a brief reading about each one. Then we will include the names of people of the church who have died since last November 1st. And then we will open it up to all of you to name names. Name names of those who have died, who have been part of your life and who you want to honor as servants of Christ. And then that will be followed by a prayer and a song.
Paul Wester was a member of Bloomington Covenant Church for 16 years. He was a foster parent to 16 newborns before becoming a father to 2 adopted daughters. 2 stepchildren later came into his life, as well as 5 grandchildren and 3 great-grandchildren. His lifelong passion was singing at second base. He sang twice with choirs in Europe and was pictured in Life magazine in a Billy Graham choir. As a mechanical engineer, he was always trying out new things and had a provisional patent for a compressor muffler. He loved making cedar strip canoes and was always eager to help others. When he lived in South Minneapolis, he piloted a launch on Lake Calhoun and drove a church bus to Camp Patmos. He was a quiet man who loved the Lord, his family, and many friends. He also never met a cookie he didn't like. Thanks be to God for the life of Paul Wester.
Janet Soderberg Erickson was born on January 27, 1930, in Minneapolis, Minnesota. During her 4th grade year, the family moved to Värmland, Sweden, where she completed part of the school year before war activity in Europe prompted a move back to Minneapolis. Janet there graduated from Minnehaha Academy, where she was part of the Minnehaha Singers, and her love for music flourished. She continued her education at Bethel College and the Miller School of Nursing in St. Paul. After graduation, she was employed by St. Paul Nursing, Family Nursing, and performed in-home family visits. Later, she was employed as the office nurse for a private family practice physician, after which she was a stay-at-home mom, where she also enjoyed baking and cooking Swedish dishes, which she shared with family and friends. Janet married John Erickson at First Covenant Church in Minneapolis on September 19, 1953, and their family included 3 children, John, Nancy, and Beth, and has grown to include 6 grandchildren, Eric, Alex, Christine, John, Elsa, and Berg, and 1 great-grandchild, Jonas, all blessed by a mother who was also a nurse and a daily praying mother-grandmother. They made their home in the Minneapolis area until 1971, when John's employment resulted in a move to St. Petersburg, Florida, returning to Minnesota as a part-time resident in 1993. Janet and John were active in their churches wherever they lived, including First Covenant and Brookdale Covenant in Minnesota, and St. James United Methodist in Florida, and finally, Bloomington Covenant, having joined in 1994. She was a member of the church choir and in the several communities where she lived, a church soloist, and since a teenager as well, is performing at weddings and funerals. Janet loved children, having herself committing her life to Jesus at the age of 7, and taught Sunday school wherever they lived. She also served as a hospital volunteer chaplain in the chaplain's ministry department at Bayfront Hospital in St. Petersburg for 8 years, always carrying her Bible and often focused on pregnant, abused, or troubled women. Janet and John have enjoyed travel, including return visits to Sweden, other European countries, Israel, Egypt, as well as our 49th and 50th states. They joined the Covenant Living of Golden Valley community on March 16, 2004, and Janet transferred to the Covenant Living Care Center on March 13, 2020, and passed away on May 25, 2020.
Harlow and Marlene Anderson. Harlow was a modest, quiet man and observant in his ways, yet always with a keen wit and a good sense of humor. He was trustworthy and had the kind of stick-to-it attitude that earned him respect from all who knew him. He grew up in Wilmer, Minnesota, served in the U.S. Navy's Seabees during World War II, attended North Dakota State School of Science. He became a skilled auto mechanic, and for nearly 30 years, he co-owned Lakeland Auto Electric in Alexandria, and then continued to work in this field in Bloomington. Harlow's faith in God and participation in the life of faith were very important to him. Harlow and his first wife, Arlene, were active members of Alexandria Covenant Church. He taught confirmation and later adult Sunday school for many years. It was said that his Sunday school classes were like seminary courses, because he put in so much study to each one. Wherever there was a mechanical failure problem at the church, like the Sunday night furnace failure, Harlow was always called upon for his expertise in repairing things. Sadly, Arlene passed away in 1972, leaving Harlow the single parent of daughters, Yvonne and Gloria. Harlow married Marlene Nelson in 1975. After they moved to Bloomington, they became part of Bloomington Covenant Church. Their daughter Yvonne said that when he became married, she brought freshness and light to their home, and a heaviness was lifted. Marlene had always loved to travel and draw out that adventurous spirit in Harlow. She also loved to host gatherings in their home. This, too, became a part of Harlow's new life. Marlene expanded his life with joy. For many, many years, on the 11th day of each month, because that's the day of the month in which they were married, they would go out to eat and celebrate their life of marriage. Marlene was a singer and was part of the choirs at Wilmer Covenant Church, Bloomington Covenant Church, and Covenant Living Retirement Center. Harlow was not a singer, but was delighted to watch and listen as Marlene sang. Outside of work, Harlow and Marlene did most things together during their 40 years of marriage. True to form, Harlow passed away on June 5th, 2020, just 4 days after Marlene, 8 days shy of his 93rd birthday. We remember them as quiet, loving, and faithful servants of our Lord.
This tribute was written in the voice of Arvie's daughter. Arvie was born on November 26, 1933. The beginning of her life was filled with many challenges. Her dad died the day before she was born, leaving her mom, Emma, with three older kids and a newborn. Emma was a strong woman with an even stronger faith. She believed that God would take care of them no matter the circumstances. That faith was carried by my mom her whole life. She believed in passing that on to her kids and grandkids. She showed them how to be the hands and feet of Christ through her many volunteer projects. She volunteered at church, serving on the leadership team, Wednesday night suppers, the prayer team, and taught one of the English as a second language classes. She also volunteered at a prison ministry and her personal favorite, Teen Challenge, where she mentored women coming out of treatment. The diagnosis of Alzheimer's was a huge blow. It's a brutal journey watching someone slowly slip away. But even when she could no longer carry on a conversation, she could sing every verse of her precious hymns. She would often tell me in the beginning, "While I am scared of what's to come, I have a peace that Jesus has me in his hands, and I will be okay until I see him again." She was a force and will be greatly missed by her family. Thanks be to God for R.V. Gustafson.
Rayola Mae Knudsen was 94 years old and died on July 30th. A private service was held by her family, and she was buried at Fort Snelling National Cemetery next to her husband, Roy, who preceded her in death. She was the mother of three sons and had four grandsons and three great-grandchildren. Rayola lived in the neighborhood near Bloomington Covenant Church and began attending worship with us in her late 80s, following the death of Roy. She said that after his death, she realized how deeply she needed a community of faith that was nearby her home and time in worship that was focused on the love of God through Jesus Christ. She found that among us that faithfully worshiped with us for several years until declining health prevented her from attending. Rayola, who some called Rayo, was a quiet and unassuming woman who often sat in the back row of the sanctuary. She often expressed how well the love she felt here by this congregation, even though she did not have a long history with us.
These are words written by Jim Smeal about his beloved wife, Thirza. But Thirza was not gainfully employed outside the home. She was an indefatigable volunteer. Hundreds of people were blessed by her energetic service over the course of her long life. She was preceded in death by her parents, her husband Wayne, her brother Fritz Waddell. 8 years after Wayne died, in 1993, she met her second great love, Jim Smeal, while snowbirding in Florida. The two were inseparable life partners until her death. Thirza had no fear of death, as her own eternal life began many years ago when she put her trust in the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has now welcomed her into his presence. We give God thanks for her life.
Jane Sawyer was a member of Bloomington Covenant Church for over 65 years. She, along with her husband Norman, served the church in many ways. They taught 4 to 6-year-old Sunday school for around 30 years. Many of those kids now have grown kids of their own. They were also high league leaders in the early years. Jane served for many showers, funerals, and other events. She was a deacon, served on search committees, was a Stephen minister, and a mentor for Apples of Gold. Her gift was hospitality, and she loved to entertain. Most important to her was her faith in Jesus Christ and sharing that with others. She was a prayer warrior. Anyone asking for prayer knew they could count on her. Her children and grandchildren always said to ask Grandma to pray. She'll get through for sure. Jane often said that she was ready to go home to her Lord. If you ask anyone in her family, they would say her Savior greeted her with, "Well done, my good and faithful servant."
Ellie Holmgren was a lifelong Covenanter and a 20-year member of Bloomington Covenant Church. She served as a greeter at the welcome desk, where she enjoyed welcoming visitors, as well as members of the church. Ellie loved to cook, bake, and entertain in her home, as well as prepare meals in the church for larger functions. She enjoyed singing alto in the church choir. The last 6 months when she was in nursing care, she had weekly visits with the chaplain, and the chaplain played the old gospel songs on her guitar, and Ellie sang along. She loved those special times. The last time they visited, the words of the song talked about heaven. Ellie said, "I'm ready for that day."
We'll now speak the names of those loved ones in our congregation who have died since last All Saints Day before March, when the pandemic began, with their pictures projected on the screen. Adrian Hesness. Marge Rickers. Steve Larson. Jim Johnson. Dennis Ellingson. Now we want to have a time for you to speak out loud any names of ones who have died this last year that you are holding in your heart this morning. And then Pastor Tim will offer a prayer to close it.
Lord our God, we remember these who have died in the past year and beyond. People precious to us and even more precious to you. We come in gratitude today for the gifts that they were to us and in so many ways still are. Their faithfulness, their love and care, the way that some of us can still hear their voices and feel the warmth of their eyes and their hands. Thank you that for them, death is now past tense. That they know the absolute wonder of being in your unfiltered presence, fully alive in ways beyond what we can even grasp this side of heaven. Thank you that for them all is well in every possible way. We remember them and we give you all the thanks and praise. Comfort us in our walk through this life. Guide us along paths that are right and just and true. May our lives continue to be built upon the same foundations of faith that these faithful ones knew and lived. And one day, by your grace, may we too know the fullness of life in your eternal kingdom, beyond the scope of this world, all through what you've shown us and given to us through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray all of this in his holy and precious name. Amen. the Word of God from the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 5, 1 through 12, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm really grateful to be in a church that recognizes the value of All Saints Sunday. Not every church does. I'm glad to be in a place where we even use the word the saints. Grateful we celebrate it here. All Saints Sunday is a profound mixture of naming both loss and joy, of looking back and looking ahead and recognizing blessings throughout. Because the people we name, even those we named silently, these are people who mattered in our lives. They are people who matter to God. In September, I spoke at the graveside service of our beloved sister in Christ, Eleanor Holmgren, one of those for whom a memorial service couldn't be held. And I spoke from a passage I have never spoken from before, from Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, or of his faithful ones. And I'd never preached from that verse before because it used to puzzle me. It didn't seem very comforting at all to call the death of people precious. But over time, I've come to understand that verse differently. The meaning behind precious in Hebrew, just like in English, it means costly, honorable, of high value, precious. And what I've learned, what I've come to understand is that death, when it comes to God's faithful ones, God affirms that the death of those people is with great cost. Not that other lives aren't precious to God, too. Every life is. God is the giver of life. Every life is precious. Every life should be precious to all of us. But these people, God's faithful ones, they served as signposts of God's kingdom, pointing to Jesus. And the death of God's faithful ones is costly, honorable, highly valued, precious. And their preciousness to us shows in our grief, right? We feel the loss. We know the heartache. For those who are closest to us, there's profound grief and loss. An ache that may fade a little bit, but the ache remains. And that has been compounded during this pandemic, where people couldn't have those last poignant conversations at the bedside. They couldn't have a memorial service. Compounded grief is what it is. All Saints Sunday is a day to name it. The heartache, the compounding grief that carries deep in our souls. It's a day to lament and to name how much it stings. As my father lay dying in the spring of 2009, I sat at his bedside thinking, I'm not ready to lose him. I wanted time to roll backward, to go back to where things were before. And the image that came to mind was being swept downstream toward this dreadful waterfall and a chasm and desperately trying to will things to go the other way, to have things stop and reverse. But of course, it didn't happen. And he was 84. He'd been declining. He knew it. And he was not he was prepared for death. He didn't want to leave all of life that he knew and loved, but he knew what was promised. It had been imprinted on him his entire life. I'm sharing this simply to affirm that even with deep trust in Jesus and everything promised, death still has a powerful sting on this side of the equation. But ultimately, here's the promise. That sting has been removed. Jesus is the victor over death. That's what the resurrection is about. As the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, "Where, O death, is your sting? Or your victory, where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That is the largest and the greatest and the truest story there is. It's a story that has no end. Resurrection, eternal life, all through Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. And it's so important to name our grief, even knowing that, name our grief, to look back over life together with those precious ones now gone from us and to lament. It's also important to lament all that is not right in this world as we know it. And there is so much. Hate, division, abuse, violence and threats of violence, people being crushed by injustice and economics and racism and all the ways that we are so fragmented right now. It's important to name and lament all these many things and even to name our own complicity in some of it. And it's also important in the midst of all this to give thanks and to claim hope. To remember that we're not orphaned as if everything is just up to us. It's important to name and to find within ourselves, by God's grace, the capacity to look forward with anticipation and joy, leaning forward with all the faith of our lives in Jesus Christ and the hope he brings, both in this life and ultimately in the life to come. The beginning of Hebrews 11 reminds us, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not yet see. That includes life here. It also includes life that's beyond this one, from which we have a few glimpses in Revelation, where we read in Revelation 21, God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." On All Saints Sunday, we look back with grief and with thankfulness, gratefully remembering God's saints who played such a role in our lives and in this world. And we look forward by faith, holding into joy of knowing where and to whom these precious ones once have gone, and by God's grace, where and to whom we one day will go. To that place with a sparkling river running through the middle of it. With the tree of life, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. Where sin and evil are completely gone. And where one day, by God's grace, we'll be in the fully unfiltered presence of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we look back and we look forward. And we also look to now, to right now, to today, into all the swirling dynamics and pressures. And look at all the many things that are in fact right and just and beautiful and all the many things that are not. Things that are wrong and corrupt and ugly. And as people of faith, we affirm that Jesus himself is present with us in this, doing new things, We affirm that how things are right now is not how things always will be by God's grace. We affirm that God's word continues to apply even in the midst of everything right now. And we affirm that the Holy Spirit bids us to keep following and to keep responding to God's word, to the Spirit's movement. And some of the most formative, life-shaping words of Jesus are from the Sermon on the Mount, from which we heard a little bit, the Beatitudes, just a few minutes ago. Beatitude is a Latin word that means blessing. Blessed are those who live this way. The Greek word for blessing is makarios. Makarios is such a beautiful word, even just to say it, makarios. And embedded in that word is another word, charis. You can hear it in there, makarios, charis. And charis means a lot of things. It means grace, joy, beauty, delight. So tucked into the very description of blessed are those is this, makarios. These people are gifts to others, grace bearers, joy carriers, people who delight in others and who are delight to be around in life-giving ways. So just briefly, I've attempted my own paraphrase of the Beatitudes. Each Beatitude beginning with that word blessed, because it is such a container for everything else. Blessed are those who know deeply in their spirits how dependent they are on God, how much they need forgiveness and grace every day, because the kingdom of heaven is where they are already at home. Blessed are those who grieve their own sins and mourn over the sins of the world, which crush dignity, hope, and life out of others, because they will be encouraged and comforted. Blessed are the humble, those who are unassuming rather than proud, those who lead with kindness rather than harshness, who look out for others and not just for themselves, because they will receive this earth as a gift. Blessed are those who are passionate about justice being done, about truth being told, about lies being exposed, and about wrongs being righted. They are hungry and thirsty for this. And because of that, one day they'll see everything set right. Everything. Blessed are those who are full of compassion for others, not just for themselves, who live by mercy rather than blaming, because that very compassion and mercy will be what surrounds them. Blessed are those who offer their hearts to God for purging of everything prideful and dark and self-serving, because their eyes will see God with the same undiluted purity as their hearts. Blessed are those who pursue peace with others, who build relationships, not division, whose words are healing instead of abrasive, because they will be called daughters and sons of God. Blessed are those who resist pressure to conform to what's not right, and to be silent about what is unjust. And in doing so, they are on the receiving end of harshness and accusations, because the kingdom of heaven is where they already stand. Blessed are you when you get torn into, when you get glared at and sneered at, when you get called names, and when you're the focus of belittlement, all because you hold true to what Jesus said and did. You are blessed. In the midst of all this, know that the gifts of God's joy and grace, charis, these are yours. You're already living them. Rejoice and be glad, because there's so much more to come. You who are blessed and who bless others by the grace of your lives. This is our Christ-given way to live. By the Beatitudes, by everything in the Sermon on the Mount. By doing so, to become like the saints who have come before us. We can likewise be people who are signposts of God's kingdom, pointing the way to Jesus through our lives. And we need more of that today. More of this sort of blessing, this level of humility and self-sacrifice and unpretentiousness. We need that beatitude life of Jesus to be who we are. We know that the coming days are going to be hard. Right on the verge of this election, with all the ripping and tearing going on. We know that at the conclusion of the election results, some will be rejoicing, others will be lamenting. Some will say, thanks be to God, and others will say, God, where were you? Social media will be all lit up with put-downs and gotchas and stinging barbs. There have been threats of violence and groups intent on stirring up more. We're in the thick of it, and truth be told, some of us contribute to it, even unintentionally. As people of faith through Jesus Christ, as people have access to God's Word and how we are called to live, including the Beatitudes and Sermon on the Mount, we are to be Beatitude people, to be blessings, to be signposts of God's kingdom, doing so in remarkably fresh ways that we may not even notice because God is at work in us. So as we come to the table this morning, may we come in the posture of humble receiving, hungering and thirsting for the righteousness of Christ to be at work in us in more ways than we even realize. And may we come with our sorrows and laments over people we've lost, who we've loved, lamenting over losses that bite deeply, lamenting over our sins and the sins of this nation and the sins of this world, looking back, looking forward, looking at today. But may we also come with hope. Hope and joy. Leaning our lives toward God who has yet more things to do among us and in this beaten up world. Finding our greatest hope in the one who took on sin and death and rose above it. Jesus Christ, who continues to say, come to me. All you are weary and burdened. All you are looking for peace. Peace I give to you, not as the world gives, but as I give it. Come, because I love you. Let's pray. Lord, you know us, and you know what's at work in us. How the dark and embittering parts of life can filter into us and come spilling out from us in our words, our attitudes, whether spoken or printed. Forgive us for all the ways we get caught up in what's not right. And for the ways that we can add to what's wrong and dividing. With the election coming and all that's churning right now nationally and personally, Lord, we need your help. For you to intervene, to bring your kingdom more to the forefront than ever, using even common people like us in signpost ways. Where there's potential for violence and disruption, please block the way. Where there are dark things plotted, please shine your light and do that in us too. Shine your light, wash and clean, forgive us. Give us new and fresh resolve to live with joy as Beatitude people. So we come to this sacred meal that you've invited us to share. Help us to come with all that we are and humbly receive all you promised to give and do. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.
It's now our sacred privilege to come to the Lord's table. It is Jesus Christ himself who invites us here. So receive these words of invitation. Come to the sacred table not because you must, but because you may. Come to testify not that you are righteous, but that you sincerely love our Lord Jesus Christ and desire to be his true disciples. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because you have any claim on the grace of God, but because in your frailty and sin you stand in constant need of God's mercy and help. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek God's presence and to pray for the Spirit.
Please pray with me. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done, by what we have left undone. We've not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we might delight in your will and walk in your ways. To the glory of your holy name. Amen.
And now hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Apostle Paul. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
Lord, now we pray that you would consecrate this bread and this cup, the containers that we hold, that you would move among us in powerful ways. Thank you for the promise of forgiveness and washing and cleaning and for new life, for amended ways. We cannot do this on our own, and we need your help. Now bless and consecrate this time as we share this feast. In your name, amen.
We invite you to take and eat the body and the blood of Christ given in love for you. Please join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for these gifts of the bread and the cup, freely given in love for us. And we thank you that through your Spirit we are in communion with all the saints, including those we've named today. We pray that this spirit of love and unity would flow through us, extending to every part of our lives and our communities. Keep us rooted and established in your love as we seek to be your people in the world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Please stand as you're able and join in singing and humming with us this joyful hymn of When We All Get to Heaven.
Keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. We go in that peace and that confidence of our Lord.